Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, presidential candidate Mike Gravel tells us what tunes he's humming in your ears next. But first, this week, as we are marking the tragedy of September 11th, it is also important to make note of happier memories. Today is one. It would have been the 54th wedding anniversary of the late John F. Kennedy and Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. Jackie Kennedy, of course, became known as an American-style icon, perhaps the first American-style celebrity. And that status may have begun with her one-of-a-kind wedding dress. And the person who made that dress was an African-American designer named Ann Cole Lowe. Lowe, a descendant of slaves, is included in a book called Threads of Time, The Fabric of History, Profiles of African-American Dressmakers and Designers from 1850 to the Present. Here to tell us more about Ann Lowe's life is the book's author, Rosemary E. Reed Miller. She joins us now in our Washington studios. Rosemary, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How did Ann Lowe get into designing?
Her mother actually, I guess it's been generations before her. Her mother actually had a super clientele in Alabama. She's from Clayton, Alabama. And she did the wedding dress and designs for the Governor O'Neill of Alabama. So that's, you couldn't go much higher than that, you know.
So she had a good foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dressmaking, as you point out in the book, has a very long history in the African American community. Mm-hmm. You recount like stories of slave women who were able to purchase their own freedom with the proceeds from their dressmaking.
Elizabeth Keckley would be a good example. Elizabeth Keckley ended up in Washington, D.C. There's actually a sign downtown here, you know, talking about her. But she, her mother was a good sewer from Virginia area. They moved to St. Louis. And she did designs for the top ladies in St. Louis. St. Louis had a substantial community there. The beer companies still were there in those days in the 1840s. And she was selling dresses from like $100 to $200, you know, a dress. And she knew she was doing a very good business and she wanted to buy her freedom. And her owner, who actually was the second lawyer who represented the family who owned Dred Scott, he was a defending lawyer. He's the one who came up with the idea that blacks weren't human beings. He told her he didn't want to sell her. He said, well, here's 75 cents, go across the river to St. Louis, which was a free territory. And she said, no. And they went back and forth again and again. She wanted to continue her business because he could change his mind. And then in the middle of the day, slave characters would come by and pull her out of her business, which happened a lot, you know. She and her son, she learned to read, and she paid $1,800 for the two of them and then came into Baltimore and then came to Washington. Mm-hmm. And she did Mary Lincoln put out a request for proposals for her inauguration dress, and 14 women showed up. And Elizabeth Keckley, she actually knew of Keckley anyway, quite frankly. She had this very social standing in her community as a society dressmaker.
So the African-American presence in dressmaking was not a new thing mm-hmm. by the time Ann Lowe came along. And she, of course, herself had a pedigree because mm-hmm. her mother had been a very sort of famous dressmaker. But how did she get the commission? How did she get the Kennedy Commission, the Bouvier Commission?
Ann Lowe also studied under a French designer in New York. She actually had technical training, too, to kind of refine even more. She actually did her prom dresses in the family. It was really the mother. She had been designing for the mother. She did for the Biddles, the Rockefellers, all kinds of people like that in New York. She considered herself a designer. I mean, she was very serious about it. She even covered...
Was she the first African-American woman to consider herself a designer or to be viewed that way?
I can't really tell you that. I mean, she just considered it and worked that way on her own. I can't say that she was the first, but she did. She had a studio on Madison Avenue. Calvin Klein has a place now. I mean, she took it step by step to be a real designer, and she took it as a real business. A lot of people sort of had another job and they did that, or they worked for somebody else. She seemed to have been very serious. She had a salon later in Saks Avenue under her own name, Ann Lowe, in the 1950s. Jackie wanted a kind of a Vera Wang plain dress, and she was very Francophile. And so she wanted a very plain dress, but the mother and Joe Kennedy really ran the wedding, wanted a more traditional dress. And so the sketch that Anne submitted, she got the job. She did the whole wedding party. It wasn't just the bride.
It wasn't just bride. She did all the bridesmaids' dresses and everybody. So was it just on the basis of the design, or did, as you mentioned, that Joe Kennedy had some influence in even something so personal, which shocks me as a woman, having your future father-in-law involved in the decision about your dress.
He ran the wedding.
But was there politics involved? Did he think the symbolism was important?
It was a traditional dress. It was such a different one from it that Jackie wanted. And Jackie later, and this is why Anne got kind of lost in history, and this is the sad part, people asked her, because everybody covered that wedding. I mean, just every, Joe Kennedy made sure that that wedding was covered from life on down, every little paper, and they covered it a week before the wedding. There was just, you know, things that you just couldn't find anything like that. And so the dress was just wonderfully done. And so he wanted his son to become president. So everything was focused that way. And he felt French design, which was plain, was not what American voters might see. And then he also said, I don't have many voters in France. You know? And so he wanted very much to have that. He knew that she was Afro-American, which, you know, I was sort of saying to myself, like, how did he feel? But, you know, he knew of her record in terms of the Rockefellers and people like Astors and whatever. So it was fine with him.
So it wasn't that he was promoting her, but it wasn't an impediment. And what you're saying is she actually got a little lost in history because Jackie didn't love the dress.
She didn't love the dress, and people asked her who did the dress. She said, I wanted to go to France, but a colored dressmaker did it. And Anne Lowe was devastated and very, you know, she had dealt with her for years. You know, Jackie was 22 then. She had done dresses for her and the family since about 17. And so she was very, you know, disappointed with that kind of thing. And most reporters did not follow through to say who was this color dressmaker, you know. Here in Washington, D.C., Nina Hyde, who was the fashion editor to the Washington Post, was the only one who said a Negro designer, Anne Lowe, did the dress. Everybody else just, like, backed away from it and didn't say anything.
You tell a story in the book that about how Anne almost did not deliver Jackie's gown to her at the Kennedy family home on Hyannisport. Why?
One of her relatives, Lenore Coles, in the city told me that she said it was sort of an untold story that 2 weeks before the wedding, about 14 dresses, I think, were damaged by water. And Anne Lowe obviously couldn't tell anybody, and she couldn't charge for that. And they finished, redid the whole wedding dress and everything over in 2 weeks' time.
What? Wait. Hold up. You're saying not the bride's gown.
It was 22 pieces in the whole wedding.
22 pieces in the whole wedding. And you're saying 14 of them were damaged by water?
Yeah.
What happened?
A water main break. She just came in one morning and there was, you know, damage. And she always had fine silk, and she was hoping to make, obviously, a profit from the wedding. She was looking for about $2,000 plus, and this is in 1950, remember? And with the damage, she ended up, you know, in negative, and she could not tell them that.
Oh,
it's not
goodness.
Their fault, you know.
No. Well, did she have enough fabric, or did she order more?
She had
more?
To go out. That's the whole problem. You had to reorder special fabrics.
And it had
they
to
kept
match?
Calling her. The dress was totally done over. They kept calling her to say, how's the dress? And she said, oh, it's coming along. They said, can we get it? And she said, well, soon. And they kept doing this again and again. And so about two or so days before the wedding, she was ready to deliver. And she decided after all that, she better take that dress on up herself or the whole, you know, thing. And when she got to the front door in Newport in Rhode Island, the butler didn't know who she was, but he considered her a tradesperson. And you go around to the back as a tradesperson. And Anne thought she was a designer, you know, with a rather special delivery. And he told her, you know, she said, if I can't come in the front door, there will be no wedding. And the guy heard her.
He let her in?
Oh.
He let her in.
There was a wedding.
There was a wedding. Okay. Well, good for her.
He wanted a job.
Anne did go on to some success. She had her own self-named boutique at Saks Fifth Avenue. That's no small thing. That's still considered a big deal.
Sure.
And she was also known as the Dean of American Designers. But her name still is a bit lost to history. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Again, because that when she first started out, she wanted this super clientele. And this is a clientele that didn't want to be in the paper if they even died, you know. And she sort of went along with that and felt that was, you know, she had this very, she said, I don't deal with cafe society. It means people who literally were like at the store club and, you know, cafes after theater and whatever would hang there.
Like theater people, entertainment
yeah.
people.
She said, I don't.
The club crowd.
I do not sew for those people.
Excuse me.
Yes. What we would call probably the red carpet type. You know, she actually was in the Social Register herself. That was sort of good in a way, but it meant it was a little bit anonymous. And so she had staff and whatever, and people, you know, finally got to her and said, you better start being more promotional. So when this wedding came through, she understood this was really a special thing. And that's why she was very peeved one time that she had a clientele going along with Joe Kennedy. He really wanted as much promotion as possible. And so it would have been good for her, and it didn't work. And reporters just did not dig that up until about 1996. We hear, you know, people started picking up that it had been done, but it had been written about it. You know, it wasn't any secret or anything. The address is in the Kennedy Library right now.
How did the story end for her? We so often hear of stories of people having a grand beginning, and then somehow they kind of fade into obscurity. How did it end for Ann Cole Lowe?
Well, one, a lot of dressmakers have trouble with their eyes because they're doing fine work. Ann was one of these very proud people, and it was, you know, it is sad story, but she lost her eyesight, and she would keep sketching. But in those days, you didn't have Social Security. She was working for herself, and she had some IRS problems of paying taxes, and she tried to have this, I would say, wonderful business facade. You know, she really thought of herself as a, you know, New York designer. But that costs money, and it's usually people invest with you, and then you have other products and things like that. This is 53, and this is a feisty Afro-American woman, and she, I don't think she focused on getting investments and name recognition. She didn't even do labels. I have one of her dresses from 1950. She didn't do a label. I have dresses after that. She did. You know, the Black Fashion Museum was one of the people who helped highlight her and things like that. But basically, it was one of those kind of things of her fading. People had been very helpful to her, but there was just a money, you know, aspect of when you lose your sight, it's just very difficult. And she died when she was in her 80s. It's not like she, you know, died young.
A bittersweet tale.
Yes.
Rosemary E. Reed Miller is the author of Threads of Time, The Fabric of History, Profiles of African-American Dressmakers and Designers, 1850 to the Present. She joined us here in our studios in Washington. Rosemary, thanks so much for coming in.
A pleasure.